My grandmother was a wonderful lady. And it was always interesting to visit her because you'd go to her house and at times you weren't even sure if you could make it through the porch because there were plants everywhere. Just plants everywhere. And I don't know if your grandmother was that way or not. There was pots here and stands here and hundreds of plants. And the most amazing thing was is they were all alive. I was walking through our house last night looking at all the plants in the house and realized, wow, we must not have a lot of time to care for the plants in the house. But she could have every plant be alive, and it was just a family tradition that if one of our plants was dying, and we would try to nurse it back because we thought, hey, we're related to her, some of it should have passed down. And we would try to nurse it back, and as it was on its last leg and wilted over and about to lose its last leaf, we'd take it to Grandma. Grandma, can you do something with this? And in her beautiful way, she'd smile and say, I'd love to. And she'd take that plant for a couple months, and a couple months later, bring it back, and it was full and green and amazing, and then she'd bring back a couple other pots because it had reproduced and she had gotten sprigs off of it and started all these other plants, and we get these five pots from this one wilted, dying plant. She was amazing at helping plants grow, at giving them just what they needed to. You know, sometimes in our walks, we feel like that dead plant. We feel like the plant that has one little leaf left that is really failing and really struggling, and we're desperate and thirsty for some water, for some nutrition, for some growth. As a church, we want to be about providing growth. We want to be about providing an environment for growth, the nutrients for growth, the things that are needed to produce full and healthy, vibrant Christians that are reproducing. That is one of our goals as Village Bible Church. It really is one of the missions of the church. Every soul that walks in our doors should be enriched spiritually. Whether it be with outreach, whether it be with spiritual growth, every soul that walks through our door should walk out knowing Christ better. Being drawn to the Holy Spirit, being drawn to the most incredible life they can live. So many times it's easy to get distracted and we get off on other things. You know, in business they say keep the main thing the main thing. You focus on what you do well and you do it. You know, we drive through Lone Pine on our way camping, and there's this one in, just hilarious place. And it's a laundromat and a burger joint. Is it no wonder that it's boarded up and closed? Across the street from the fireworks stand, we have a laundromat and a music store, all in one store. And I just don't get it because it's trying to do different things that aren't compatible. And as a church, we are about nourishing the soul spiritually, bringing people to Christ, discipling them to grow deeper in Christ. And that should be our commitment. That's why it's one of our four categories, one of our four principles that are foundational to our vision at Village. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we'll get to the plant stuff here in a minute. You can probably guess where that's going. Some of you are thinking, I don't want to take any planting advice from Pastor Ron. And that's probably wise. But we'll try and we'll see what we can do. But turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. Again, these are some familiar verses, some of my favorite verses. We read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces, referring to Moses, who saw the glory of God and veiled it and didn't let anyone see it, and he wasn't bold about this is who God is, people weren't able to handle it. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being transformed into his likeness. And I want to focus on that word transformed this morning, and that forms the basis as we look at plants and how plants grow and draw some application from that. The word for transformed, you might recognize, it's metamorpho. Metamorphosis is our word that comes from it. And if you think of metamorphosis, we understand that to be something goes in looking one way and comes out looking completely different, right? The caterpillar goes into the cocoon, and when it comes out, it looks nothing like a caterpillar. That's metamorphosis. And that's the word that is used here, speaking of how Christ should change us. That it is a complete and thorough change. It is not just, oh, I'm going to go to heaven now. But Christ desires to take the very essence of who we are. Our worldview, our lifestyle, our actions, our attitudes, every part of who we are, and change it to look completely different. Change it to where there is something new. And when we read in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that's the word that is used. We are being transformed. We are being changed into something completely new. Into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. Christianity is not just something we decide to do. It's who we are. It's who we are becoming by the grace of God and by the work of God. Interestingly enough, it's the same word that's used in the story of the Transfiguration in both Matthew and Mark. And we see Jesus on the hillside with His disciples, and we see the glory of God coming on Him. And we read in the Matthew passage, there He was transfigured before them. Same word, metamorpho, metamorphosis. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. And Moses and Elijah come and the disciples interact. That's what God desires to do in us. That is spiritual growth. And we see it perfectly happen in Christ Jesus. For us, it's a process. For us, it's a goal that will only be met when we are in eternity with Christ. But each day, it's something we are striving for. When I think of spiritual growth, I think of growing things. And this morning, we do want to take the idea of a plant as a growing thing. And it has metamorphosis from a seed or a bulb or a sprig, however it grows, into this is a much larger plant than a seed. Can transform some into trees, into all kinds of different plants and life. We want to learn some things from that process. And if you'll indulge me this morning, we'll use this as our metaphor for the spiritual walk. And I just want to start by some things we observe about growth of plants. And that's the first part of your notes, and then we'll get into the plant itself. But there's some things that we observe, and these are basic things, but they are foundational to understanding the process of spiritual growth in our hearts and understanding why and how we can implement this as Village Bible Church. The first thing that we observe, if you sit and watch a plant long enough, not that you have the time to do that, but change happens a little bit at a time. Change happens a little bit at a time. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we were looking at our vision statement and the different words of it. It's a process of transformation. A little each day. Sometimes it can be discouraging because we get through a year of walking with Christ and we look back and say, I didn't grow with Christ this year. Perhaps we're not the best judge of that. Perhaps we should talk to our spouse. Perhaps we should talk to some people that are close to us and say, how am I doing? Have I grown with Christ this year? Because when you're in the middle of it, it's easy to miss what God is doing. It's easy to miss when your kids get bigger over the course of a year and all of a sudden you look at them and measure them and you're like, what happened? But it happens a little bit at a time. That's how God chooses to change us. At times there's leaps in that. But in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes this in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this. The apostle Paul said he wasn't there yet. Or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ Jesus, through His death on the cross, started the process of sanctification. Paul says, I press on, that I will continue to grow. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. We grow a little bit day by day. As we talked about a couple weeks, we all grow at different rates. We're all at different stages. You know, the full-grown plant should be happy for the plant that's halfway but still growing, because they're at a different place. And that's just the way plants work. And the point is the growth. The point is the continuing process of transformation, not my own personal timetable. Growth happens a little bit each day. We're all a work in progress. A group of tourists one time went to a village, and it was a little village out in the country, and they saw an old man sitting there, and sort of patronizingly they said, were there any great men born in your village? And the old man said, no, only babies. It starts as a baby. And it's a process of ever-increasing Christ-likeness, ever-increasing conformity to His glory. Second thing, just observation about a plant. This particular one is a mum. A mum should be a mum. Obvious statement of the day, right? Ivy should be ivy. An oak tree should be an oak tree. We should be what God desires and has created us to be. We don't expect a mum to come out and bear apples. We don't expect a plant to suddenly grow into something it was not intended to be. And in Romans 12, the passage that Nick read in worship, one of the other places where the word metamorpho is used, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. It's not you. You're a mum, not a weed. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for you to be a mum. His perfect, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. A mum should look like a mum. Simple observation, but huge when we understand what we're striving for. We should be looking Christ-like, striving to be Christ-like, because that is who God has saved us to be. The third thing we learn from plants is that growth is not hard, but it is challenging. Growth is not hard, but it is challenging. A great challenge. You know, the plant doesn't have to struggle to grow. If the elements are there and the ingredients are there, it will grow, and it will grow naturally. But the challenge is for all those ingredients to be there. It is not hard, but it is not easy. Bonhoeffer, when he's talking about the cost of discipleship, writes, grace is free, but not cheap. Grace is free, but not cheap. Indeed, it may cost us everything. But spiritual growth, the trend in culture today, the trend in education today, is to try to break it off into such detail that it becomes this ritualistic set of things we do. And it becomes this list of things we can never accomplish. And God's Word really boils it down to some simple principles. Be about my Word. Be about a relationship with me. Be about outreach. Be about fellowship. Be about ministry. And see what happens. God desires simple obedience. It's a challenge, though, to move past ourselves. It's a challenge to be obedient in the simple things. Finally, the fourth thing, just from observing a plant that we see, or that we know, growth is expected. Growth is expected. If the plant isn't growing, then something's wrong with it. That makes sense? And here at Village and our Christian walks, we should expect growth. We should expect that God will be changing. We should expect that God will be doing something in each of us every day, every month. And that expectation leads us to the kinds of actions where that can happen. One author wrote, "Where there is not life, there can be no growth. Where there is no growth, there no life exists." Growth and life are together. And it should be expected. In Ephesians 4, another familiar passage, Paul is talking about why gifts were given, and he says it's given to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, so that the body will grow until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The goal is becoming more Christ-like. And we know that never happens in perfection until we're with Him. But the process should always be growing, should always be moving on. Four different things we learn from looking at a plant. Growth happens a little at a time. A mum should be a mum. It's not hard, but challenging. It's not easy either. And growth is expected. This morning, as we continue to look at the plant, I'd like to just draw some, moving past the introductory observations, just draw some metaphor from the plant and maybe give us a handle to understand spiritual growth a little bit more, or at least to challenge ourselves. And ask the question, what does a plant need to grow? What does it need to grow? And we're going to transplant this plant and hopefully that doesn't kill it instantly. You never know with me and plants. The first thing that we need to grow, that a plant needs to grow, is soil. We have some soil here, and I'm going to put some soil in. And this is good, rich soil, full of nutrients. And if the plant is to have a chance, it's got to have good soil. It can't be toxic soil. But soil that is rich in minerals, rich in the things the plant needs. And that becomes the foundation for our growth. That becomes the foundation for the plant's growth. And as we look at spiritual growth, our soil is the Word of God. Our soil is the work of God through His Spirit and through His Word. And that must be a foundation, that must be a priority if we have a chance to grow at all. All growth comes from God. All growth comes from His work. And just as the plant needs the nutrients in the soil, we need to be in God's Word. We need those nutrients to feed, to grow, to create leaves. Colossians 2:19 says, "He has lost connection with the head," speaking of someone who had walked away from God. But then listen to the description of what God does for the body, "from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." As God causes it to grow. 1 Corinthians 3:6 through 9, as Paul is dealing with divisions and Paul is dealing with people claiming different people were helping them grow better than others, he writes, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow." It wasn't about what any of us did. It was about the soil. It was about the nutrients. It was the power of God at work. "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." Our soil must be rich and able to help us grow. And the only place that that can happen is through Jesus Christ Himself, through His Word. We must have a firm commitment to His Word. And that really is the second thing as well that we see from the plant is the plant really needs to have roots that are part of the soil, that are going through the soil. And the way a root works in a plant is it spreads through the soil and sucks the nutrients out of the soil and just grabs as much as it can and it spreads out. And that is a great illustration of what our attitude towards God's Word should be. We should be seeking God's Word. We should be striving to grow. And as we take the plant out of the pot, the roots were pretty compacted there. But now, they can spread out in the rich nutrients of God's Word. There can be no growth without time in God's Word. There will be no growth individually. There will be no growth as a church without a firm commitment to God's Word. Our roots need to crave the soil, draw from the soil. It's thinking differently and realizing that when we come together as a body and we come to church, it's about drawing from the soil. It's about digging deep into God's Word and enjoying that. It's about being thirsty. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Knowledge is part of it. Do we know what we believe? Are we firm in that? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, again, familiar passages. "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." See, the soil of God's Word and the soil of His power for growth is a wonderful thing, but if the roots never touch the soil, then no nutrients ever get to the plant. And in the same way, if we never open God's Word, if we just open it on Sunday morning, if we never dig into it, then the nutrients are all right there waiting to help you grow, waiting to help you walk with Christ, and we're ignoring it. And not even touching it. God's Word is vital. It is essential to growth. Four aspects of digging into God's Word that I would encourage. And this is the central core of spiritual growth. And we'll spend a little bit more time on it. The first is study it. Study it. And I don't just mean on Sunday morning. I challenge you to be in God's Word, but to not just read it. You can hear God's Word, you can read God's Word, and the next step is to study God's Word. I challenge you to at least get to that step. And then meditate on God's Word and memorize God's Word. But study it. In 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Do your best to study God's Word, to be ready to handle it. As a church, what that means for us is we need to be teaching you to study God's Word. We need to be teaching each other to get into God's Word, that it's not just about listening to the sermon on Sunday morning or Sunday school class. It's about every member learning to use tools, learning to use God's Word, learning to read it, learning to suck nutrition out of it. A plant can't just be dependent on someone to give it a vitamin B shot every now and then. It has to spread its roots into God's Word. Study it. Secondly, with God's Word, apply it. It's not just about the knowledge. I've known people who know so much about God's Word that they can argue me down into a hole if they wanted to. But they weren't willing to apply it. And so there was no growth and there was no life. Hebrews 5. In Hebrews 5, the author challenges the hearer to apply it. In a little bit of an admonition, he says, "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn." I don't like being called slow. "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, about how to live, about how to apply it. But solid food is for the mature," and listen to the description of the mature, "but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil, who have learned to apply it, who have learned what is right to do and what is wrong to do. And the test of studying God's Word and understanding it, the test of am I in the soil, is am I able to apply it?" Study it. Apply it. Love it. Love God's Word. And the way that you grow to love God's Word is to be in it. To be in it regularly. Have you ever noticed how if you don't talk to a friend for a long time, you get back together and it's often just a little awkward? What do you say? What questions do you ask? Should you have known the answers to those questions? Have you embarrassed yourself with those questions? The same is true of God's Word. We love it by being in it regularly. Otherwise, it's a little awkward. Howard Hendricks described three types of Bible students. I love this. There's the castor oil types. The word is bitter. Yuck. But it's good for what ails you. There's the shredded wheat types. Scripture is nourishing, but it's dry, like eating a bale of hay. Hopefully you're no shredded wheat fans here. And then there's the strawberries and cream type. They just can't get enough. It's sweet to the taste and so enjoyable. Where are we at? Is God's Word castor oil? Well, I guess I have to do this. Don't really like it, but I'll force myself. Are we shredded wheat? It's dry, but hey, I'm getting something out of it. Or is it dessert? Do we love it? And the only way to love God's Word is to dig into it regularly. Study it, apply it, love it, and finally memorize it. Memorize it. As we look at spiritual growth in the church, in Village, those are some of the ways that you'll see it come out. We'll talk about memorization. We'll talk about studying God's Word. We'll talk about the foundational importance of God's Word. In Psalm 119, 9 to 11, we read, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, memorized it, that I might not sin against you." For a plant to grow, it has to be in the right soil. God's word, the power of God that causes growth. But it has to let its roots, secondly, expand into the soil and be nourished by the soil. You know, some of the things of what that means for us as Village, as we look at vision, as we go on, what that means is we have a firm commitment here that whenever we get together, God's Word will be valued. God's Word will be part of what we do. We will never apologize for teaching and preaching God's Word because it is essential to growth. It is the foundation of our decisions. It is the foundation of why we live, of how we choose to live. It is vital that we understand that that is to be part of normal body life. And so many times we think of God's Word and we think of the soil and we think of the roots as something we do extra. And you know, there's times that we get together and we don't want to value that. And why do we always have to be talking about God's Word? Because that is the main thing. That is one of our purposes. Like I said, every soul that walks in the door should be nourished spiritually. As we go to our Sunday school classes and as we go to different ministries, the Word of God and the power of God and a life with God should infiltrate everything we do. Our rooms on campus should be distinctly Christian rooms. The attitudes when we get together, the music that we play when we get together should be distinctly Christian. Because if you take a plant and you just hang it in midair and you never put it in soil, it will not grow and it will die. At Village, we will hold strong to that commitment. In a culture where many aren't, in a culture where there's all kinds of different ideas of how to bring people together, we will hold firm to God's Word and we will teach it when we get together. It's that important. Thirdly, as we look at what makes a plant grow, we just had a little watering can. Plants need water. Most plants need water. We'll water this and hopefully not make a mess. Don't quite have enough soil in yet, but plants need water. And the interesting thing about plants is they like water on a regular basis. I can't just water my house plants once this year. And then, hey, next January we'll hit them again. They'll die. And maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. We need the continued input. We need continued growth in God's Word, continued study of God's Word. But part of this is we need continued exposure within the body of Christ. We need to be here. We need to be around each other. We need to be hearing teaching, not just studying it ourselves, but putting ourselves in places where we are hearing God's Word and learning God's Word, where we are being watered. How are you watered in your life? Are you intentionally putting yourselves in situations where you're hearing God's Word? And are you committed to that on a regular basis? In 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Crave it, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk. What does a baby do when it gets hungry? Cries, screams. Not that we're encouraging that. But it lets you know because it craves the milk of the Word. It craves food. Gets hungry a lot, too. And the only thing that satisfies it is food. If you're not being watered regularly, if you're not in a community of saints, of believers, if we're not here together, learning God's Word together, it's hard to be watered. What happens to a plant that isn't watered? It dies. When I think of a plant that can survive without water, I think of one particular kind of plant. Cactus. And this is just sort of a fun little illustration. What do cactuses have? Thorns. They tend to be prickly. They tend to be harsh. And as I've watched in my life and as I've watched in people's lives, if I'm not being watered, if I don't have that continual infusion of God's Word and teaching, I get a little sharp. I rub people the wrong way. A little prickly. I challenge you this morning, if you find yourself at odds with people a lot, if you find yourself pricking people a lot, Are you getting enough water? See, the more time you regularly spend in God's Word, the more it softens those thorns. Crave spiritual milk. We are never done. Plants never get to a point where they don't need water anymore unless they're dead. And we are never done. And one of Satan's biggest tricks is to get us to believe that we've grown enough, that we've learned enough of God's Word. I've read it. I'm done. And if he can accomplish that, if he can get us to stop being watered and craving water and learning, he can stop us from growing. We are never done. A couple of ways that works itself out at Village and in our vision is we will encourage the assembling together of believers. We will encourage coming together and growing together. But also, in the coming years, I pray that we will seek discipleship relationships, that we will seek relationships that are intentional about one-on-one or one-on-a-few watering each other and building into each other's lives the things that help growth happen. We're going to move through the last five pretty quickly. Plants to grow need light. They need light. Most need the sun. We have in our backyard these red plants, not really plumerias, but almost look like plumerias. And in this one case, one is at the corner of the house, and it's facing east, so it gets some sun. But over the course of a few months, this plant grew around the corner of the house to where it could get sun all day. And so it got the east sun, but then as the sun set in the west, it got the sun the whole day. And it was just so odd to walk in the back and see this plant come up and then around the corner of the house. It craved the sun. And it craved the light. Seek God with all your heart. Love Him. Up till now, we've been talking about study and memorization. But part of spiritual growth and part of what we want to cultivate here at Village is a love and a relationship with Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Seek Him with all your heart. One of the ways we do this as a body is through worship. Worship is about giving glory to God. It is about seeking Him with all of our heart. And it is vital to the growth of this church that we worship together. That is vital that we seek the Son together. That we worship Him in spirit and in truth. Seek God with all your heart. Love Him. We need the light. An example of how this might work out in ministry here at Village. We're looking at a variety of different ministries and how do we start some ministries and what ministries do we focus on. And you know, one of the ministries that we have traditionally had is a women's ministry. And some of you have asked questions about a women's ministry. And as we look at any ministry, and I'll just use that as an example, we're looking at ways that to build ministries around spiritual growth and build ministries around seeking God and loving Him. And as we look at that particular ministry, we're looking to start, and we'll probably do this with many of the ministries, to start with a foundation of seeking God. In this case, probably some sort of a women's Bible study that meets together, where the foundation is a study and a love for God and then expanding out from there. Because then the foundation and the soil's right. We're seeking the light and God can use that. A couple of other things that help a plant grow. It needs the right environment. It needs the right air that it breathes. Not that we breathe, but that it breathes. And plants need that air 100% of the time. And if they're going to grow, they need to be in that kind of environment. And we as well need to be in an environment where we have every moment of dependence of God. Every moment being a teachable moment. Every moment asking the Spirit how He's leading us. Living a life worthy of the calling we have received. At Village, we want to create an environment for growth. An environment that celebrates growth. As we look at ministries and as we look at leadership here, leadership should always be drawn from people that are clearly growing with Christ. And that a walk with God and a commitment to God is clear and evident in their hearts. That is more important than a certain skill set. Skill sets can be taught. A love for God can't be ignored, or a lack of love for God. So if this is our vision, if spiritual growth is our vision, then leadership, our decision makers, will come from those who have an open love for God. That will be the core of our church. Three other things to fill out your notes. Plants need some sort of a stem. And this is, again, another obvious statement, but the stem gets the nutrients from the roots into the leaves, into life. And when we think of spiritual growth and how spiritual growth happens, think of the stem as the spiritual disciplines, the obedience. The obedience to pray, the obedience to worship, the obedience to study God's Word. The obedience to fellowship, to memorize, to serve, to witness. And that obedience doesn't make us grow, but it allows growth to happen. If there was no stem, the nutrients would never get to real life, to the leaves. And in the same way, if we aren't practicing the spiritual disciplines, there's no way for the nutrients of God's Word to infiltrate into the rest of our lives. By themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to a place where something can be done. And so the disciplines themselves aren't some sort of magic pill that defines spiritual maturity. But they get us to a place where the nutrients are coming up and changing us from the inside out. They're changing us from the heart of the matter, from the roots into the stem, into the very essence of who we are, and it comes out in the leaves and the flowers. The stem is the spiritual disciplines. Then you see the leaves and the flowers, and a growing plant has those, has some signs of growth. And that reminds us that the Christian life is not dull, it's not boring, but it is vibrant, it is exciting. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Healthy plants look healthy. Healthy plants reproduce. We want to be a growing and healthy church. And finally, the last part of helping a plant grow is at times it's important to prune. There's a branch back here that's a little broken off. And in our own personal lives, we have to be willing to prune out sin, and we have to be willing to prune out the areas of our lives that are hindering growth. And probably the way that that will happen is when people alongside you come and help encourage you, point out things that are not pleasing to God. As Proverbs 27 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Things we learn from a plant, from how a plant grows. Doesn't help a plant if we just spray paint it green and it's not alive on the inside and the nutrients aren't coming from the inside. My prayer is that we at Village understand that one of our purposes is spiritual growth, and we have a firm commitment to that. And that each year we can each look back and say, God has done something in my life. God has taught me some things. He has brought me closer to Him. The plant of my spiritual walk is a little bit bigger and a little bit healthier, a little bit greener. This morning as you leave, we have some plants for you. And these plants are to remind us of the metaphor of spiritual growth and what God desires. And I encourage you to take one per family, take a plant home and plant it somewhere where your family will see it. And use it as a reminder to what God wants to do in your life and how He wants to do it. Every time you water the plant, remind yourself that you need to be watered by being in His Word, by being around teaching and people that are walking with Him. As you plant it in the soil, and as you look at it from day to day, remind yourself that the foundation of the soil is God's Word and His work. As you watch it grow, remember that God desires you to grow. As you prune it, ask God to show you things in your life that need to be pruned. Give Him that permission. Take care of it. May it be a reminder of what God wants to do. Let's close in prayer. Lord God, I pray that You would be with us and help us to be a people that are growing and not a lifeless, dull people. But that every soul that comes through our door can see Christ and see a vibrant life for Christ in each of us. Lord, may we be in Your Word. May we be in prayer. May we crave a relationship with You with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. I pray as we move forward in the years to come that You would help us find creative ways to keep this at the forefront. Keep us growing, Lord God, in all we do, in all we say, in who we are. In Your precious name, amen. Thank you for worshiping with us.